All right, good morning, welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcast. Good morning, June 3rd, 2024. Beautiful day here on the east side. Hope it's great wherever you are at. It is a Monday morning. Just walked in from my walk. Great way to start the day, at least for me. I've been trying to do it every single day unless it's raining, and it's been going great. Not a huge walk. I think it's maybe a 2 miles, if that, and but it definitely is a great way to kick off my day. It gets everything sort of moving, and just really grateful that I can get up and do that. So, yeah, I just walked in, grabbed some coffee. Cool thing is, man, I love to get up and go for a walk without having drinking any coffee. I used to, I know I've shared before that I loved running, and but man, I'd have to get up, I'd have to have some coffee, I'd have to, you know, everything I could do to, you know, push myself to go run. And now I like to just get up, put on my my ear pods, sometimes no ear pods, and just go walk and sort of reflect and get into the day and think about the yesterday and the weekend. And I did have a great weekend. Went to that that new meeting. It's not a new meeting for me, the Big Book meeting, which is really great. And went to a meeting last night, the Promises meeting. And still weird. Still, you know, I don't know. I'm not a big fan of the Promises meeting. I just don't know why they had. I guess they're just bored. I don't understand why we have that. I know people love it, and they love to say it. Oh, I love a Promises meeting, and that's great. And whatever, right? Whatever gets people to go to meetings. But you know, the Promises are funny because the only people that care about the Promises are people that are still sick, right? Yell at me or not. I already got in trouble last night because I think I upset a few people. But you know, that's the way I look at it. I mean, the only fucking people that care about getting something promised to them are self-centered people. Are people still suffering with that self, right? Which we will always suffer from, I think. It's never completely removed. But, you know, it's like, I don't know. But it's just bizarre. The problem is that most people that are, you know, like last night, I don't know how many people have worked through the ninth step. Like, really? Right? Not like a victim, not like a person that has to, but like a person curious, really wanting to figure out the problem that they suffer from and, you know, and have worked out through the ninth step, because that's what it takes. You have to do the step. The Promises come in the ninth step. And I'm going to tell you something right now. There's a lot of work, a lot of great work, right? It's very good stuff, but it takes time and it takes commitment and it takes honesty and it takes a lot of work. And when you get through all of that, the promises do come true. But when you get to all of that, right, when you get to that point, you don't really give a fuck about the promises.
I never wanted the stars, never shot for.
Bon Jovi, I Want You. I'm a big Bon Jovi fan. I feel so bad for John Bon Jovi losing his voice. I mean, I don't know. He's sort of working it out, but I think his touring days, big career, big gig days, I think, are over, which is a drag because he is so awesome, man. I love the band Bon Jovi. Grew up with them. Such a great band. But yeah, it is interesting meeting last night, man. I think I pissed off some people. I always end up pissing off people, but I don't intend to. Or I don't mean to. It's just that, you know, sometimes someone has to call out. Someone has to turn the damn lights on. And this meeting last night, led by a guy who I really like, you know, and he made it very clear he has 436 days, which I think is great. But he shared, you know, his, you know, he shared his story and, you know, how he goes to a meeting every day and meeting makers make it and he's dedicated and it's different this time. And I don't know what promise he picked. I don't even think he knew, to be honest with you. Because he hasn't worked the steps through the ninth step. I mean, how in God's name are you supposed to understand these things until you've worked the steps through the ninth step? Really, hopefully all the steps, right, through 12. But the problem is it takes a lot of time, it takes a lot of work, and you have to, you know, you have to be in it. And but then everybody was like, oh, meeting makers make it. And I, you know, of course I had to share it. I'm like, how many meetings do you go to before you get the ninth step promises? Right, because meeting makers, here's a sad fact. People that just make a lot of meetings don't always make it. In fact, they rarely make it. In fact, people that go to a lot of meetings and work the steps barely make it. Barely. I don't know what the percentage is, but it's low. And, you know, and it's just real, right? I've been coming to this program since 1997, and I've even fallen out. And I thought I did the steps and I went my first 4 or 5 years, man, I went to a meeting every day. I loved it. Loved it, loved it, loved it. Right. Meeting makers did not make it. I don't even know. I think you have to go to a lot of meetings. I think you have to work these steps. I think you have to work with the sponsor. I think you have to work with others. I think you have to do this every single day and you might have a chance of staying sober. But this isn't a disease of I like it, don't like it. This is a spiritual battle. And, you know, people think it's the worst, too, because all the voices are telling you how good you're doing, right? But the ego continues to live, right? And it cracks me up listening to that guy last night. I got 436 days. Like, you got a year, right? That's what you fucking got. And the fact that you're saying it in number of days shows me that you really should just not even be up front, right? I just don't understand at what point. And the worst part about this is the guy had 12 years, right? And drank. A great example. And I like this guy, but yeah, fuck, man. Sometimes people need to have some tough love. Tough love. And, you know, of course, I shared, how many days does it take? How many meetings do I have to go to before I get the step or the 12-step promises, right? You know, because for those who think that it's about meeting making, it is not. It's working these steps. I go, this is, meetings really are two things, right? When I came out of this fucking, you know, that third step, right? That door that we have to jump through. Prior to jumping through the door, the world I lived in was fucking terrible. You wouldn't want to live in it. My neighbor wouldn't want to live in it. Nobody in that meeting I went to would want to live in it. Nobody would want to live in that world that I lived in prior to jumping through the door in the third step. But when I do, and when I did, and when you do and did, hopefully there was something on the other side of the door that was worth staying for. And that's what meetings are, right? Meetings are a place that you go and you say, wow, there is this other life, right? You come through the jungle, right, to the other side of the island. You're like, holy shit, there's another life, right? That's what meetings are for. You show up. You get to find people. You make friends. You build relationships, right? You do something different than that other world. But that is not where we find serenity. You do not find serenity inside meetings. You find a lot of self. They can get cliquey, right? Little groups. Which is fine, man. Have fun, right? Have fun. It is nice when we stop drinking, but that shit fades. You have to get a sponsor, and you have to work these steps, and you have to be honest. And, you know, like I've said 100 fucking times, you have to make sure you are not here as a victim of alcohol. The first thing someone says is, and I've talked about this, you know, the person I was working with who's doing quite well lately, right? You know, it has not been drinking. But, you know, you put the bottle down one day, they're like, oh, my God, this person's doing so good. I'll keep rooting for her. Call her up. Give her a call. She's doing so good. I'm like, she didn't drink for a day. What the fuck? It is so good in that world. I understand. But the problem is the person that drinks is hearing the same shit. I'm doing so good. Look at me. I'll never forget how great I was doing when I came into this program because I was doing so bad. You know, I was starting to think that this program is really to save all the people around me. Right? I think this is that, you know, I admitted I was powerless over alcohol and my life had become unmanageable to everybody else. Right? Everybody else is the biggest supporter of me getting sober. I'm the last one on board. Right? I don't give a fuck, but everybody does. Oh my God, I heard the guy downstairs is getting sober. Thank God. Oh my God, I hear one of my employees is getting sober. Thank God. Oh my God, I hear our son is starting to try to get sober. Thank God. I hear this all the time with clients. Oh, I think my daughter's struggling, but she hasn't had a drink. Thank God. Right? This program is to save everybody else. I don't know if we could save ourselves. But if we want to, we can, and it takes a lot of work and honesty and digging in, right? So last night's meeting was great. You know, of course, I'm sharing, right? I'm sharing and getting into it, and this guy starts saying, I don't know if I'm being lectured to. I feel like I'm being lectured at, and I'll just tell you, I am working the steps. And I wasn't really trying to lecture him. I was just saying, you know. Don't fool yourself. 437 days. You haven't even fucking hit the hard part. You think that other shit was hard? Wait till all this happiness and joy starts fading away, right? And we just are left with ourselves. This is what happens to people that don't work the steps, right? And they just fucking are left with themselves and their thoughts and the demons, right? The battles. That's where the battle really takes place. It's not 437 days. You know, it's 3 years, right? It's 4 years. It's 5 years. 5 years into this is where the battles really start taking place, right? How good am I? How good am I doing? It's tough. But I wanted to also read, you know, this is the fucking craziest stuff too. I have been talking about these little shortcomings, right? And I don't even, let me see, let's ask ChatGTP, what is a shortcoming? Let's see what this says. A shortcoming is a weakness, flaw, or deficiency in something or someone. It refers to an aspect that falls short of expectations or standards, causing a limitation or disadvantage. Shortcomings can be related to skills, behavior, performance, or the characteristics of objects and systems. For example, a person might have a shortcoming in their ability to communicate effectively, or a product might have a design shortcoming that affects its usability. Yes. So what I'm saying is right then. So I'm just going to go with fuck it. I'm just going with it. So a shortcoming to me is, you know, that last little 5%, the last 4%, right? The last 4%. I mean, listen, it's like that, you know, it's sort of like the fucking space shuttle. When the space shuttle blew up, Columbia, right? And that fucking beast was flying into the air. And what happened? That one little seal, right? The little gasket that froze, right? That little gasket had a shortcoming. That little fucking gasket brought the whole goddamn shuttle down. And that's what happens in the seventh step if we do not fucking work on it. And I had this And this has sort of been on my mind. And so, you know, I've been talking about it. I'm trying to figure it out. Well, I read this article yesterday, which I thought was very interesting. And I'm just going to share it with you. It's called "The Subtle Form of Cheating Could Be Why You're Not Happy in Your Relationship." Right? Thought there's no one leading cause of breakups. Infidelity tends to rank high on the list of reasons people end their relationships. According to data conducted by the General Social Survey, 20% of men and 13% of women reported that they've had sex with So I want to get to this one part. For some people, cheating is when someone crosses a physical boundary, right? That would be a character defect, right? Like having sex or kissing someone different than their partner. For other, cheating includes the emotional side, right? Which many will refer to as emotional affairs. I've had that. I've absolutely had that. That is not good. This may look like confiding in another person with a problem in your relationship arises, or hiding your conversations with someone else from your partner. I've done that. Can I just say I've been guilty of all this, right? I've been married a few times. I've had to learn the hard way. And it's not great. I'm not proud of it. But these are all the things that I've gone through, right? I've had conversations. You know, I work in the hair business, right? It's sometimes not good. I mean, you know, but the point is that I've had these emotional friendships, right? With clients, you start having these conversations with clients about things that you don't really talk to your wife about. It seems innocent enough, right? Next thing you know, it ain't. I've experienced that and it's terrible, and I've learned right today. But I can tell you, when that was going on, I was sober, and it was scary, right? Because all of a sudden you're like, is someone going to text me? Oh my God, am I going to get caught? Right? It's just awful, right? And so, not holding the hand of God, right? So, such a different person back in those days. But it says, the other person's problem in your relationship arises, hiding your conversation was okay. Yet, somewhere in between this physical and emotional lines of cheating is what people are now calling micro-cheating. Nice. Micro-cheating is engaging in subtle cheating behaviors that may seemingly be insignificant, but still has layers of betrayal, dishonesty, and secrecy. Secrecy, right? I've done this too, right? I've had, you know, and really unfortunately, most of this takes place on the internet, right? On your Instagrams and on your Facebooks, and you'll see a pretty girl or a pretty boy, right? And you just make a little comment, hey, cute suit, or whatever, right? Nice shorts. And seems innocent enough, but I know back in my mind there is some sort of filth, right? And as soon as we do it, or as soon as I do it, all of a sudden, oh, right? Oh my God, should I have said that, right? First of all, you want to be honest. And if you're in a relationship, you want to be honest and you want to have your best intentions, right? That's ideal, right? But then you don't want to be kind of creepy and disgusting, right? And you have to be careful. You don't want someone judging your character by your social media posts. And I've gone through this, but these are shortcomings. These are exactly what the seventh step talks about. You know, I don't steal, but I'll fill my pockets with Wawa sugar packets, right? I don't lie, but I might have that little white lie, right? There's these little bitty things that are so small that emotionally we feel it, but you wouldn't notice it any other way. And it keeps us sick. It keeps us out of that relationship with the higher power. Let's see. Just like the definition of cheating is subjective, the definition of micro-cheating may even be more ambiguous. To better understand, experts explain below what micro-cheating is, micro-cheating examples, and how to talk with your partner if you suspect they could be micro-cheating. All right, here we go. What is micro-cheating? Micro-cheating is a form of cheating that consists of seemingly small actions that indicate a person is emotionally or physically focused on someone outside their relationship, says Kaylee Hartman, clinical director. It may be more subtle than cheating, but it has the potential to be just as harmful. Faulkner even describes it as being insidious in nature, right? And it is. right? There's nothing worse than getting away with something, right? Especially when you're not when you shouldn't be, because it just continues, right? It continues, and you're just sicker and sicker. Just like everyone has a different definition of what cheating is, though, what people consider micro-cheating will also vary. One individual might consider micro-cheating to be not wearing a wedding ring at a bar with friends, while another person would simply call that cheating. One individual might consider micro-cheating to be texting another person about their relationship problems, while another person might not consider that to be a form of cheating at all. More often than not, micro-cheating does not involve any sort of crossed physical boundaries. However, what you consider to be micro-cheating comes down to establishing what your definition of cheating is with your partner. Once that's established, micro-cheating involves behaviors outside of the boundaries set by both partners, Hartman says. As for why micro-cheating may sting a little more than cheating, it can be harder to forgive and get closure because there is no definitive line drawn between what's acceptable behavior and what isn't, Hartman said. For the reason it's important to discuss your individual boundaries, expectations in a relationship to ensure that neither partner is unintentionally crossing them. All right, micro-cheating examples. Sending flirty texts or messages to someone besides your partner. Yeah, that would be a beatdown. Changing your appearance to look better or receive attention from someone besides your partner. That's not good either. Concealing the fact that you're in a relationship with other people. That's not good either, yeah. Having secret, intimate conversations with other people. No. Leaving flirty comments on social media. That one's the dangerous one. And sending or receiving sexual photos from someone other than your partner and keeping dating profiles active. Yeah. Well, that's, if you want to read that whole article, it's called, The Subtle Form of Cheating Could Be Why You're Not Happy in Your Relationship. Well, the subtle form of cheating could be why you're not happy with your relationship with God, too. Right. And, I've learned over time that really the whole goal of getting sober and working the steps of this program is to be a better person, right? It is not to not drink, even though you should. If you're a good person and on the inside and out, you're not drinking, right? You're just not doing that. But if you're just here for not drinking, that's great. Don't drink. You will eventually drink again. I'm sorry to tell you. And I said that last night. I think people got upset. Meeting makers make it. Yeah. I've known a million meeting makers, and none of them are here, right? My buddy Jimmy was there. I met Jimmy the first night I came into the program in 97. And Jimmy and I are both not first-timers, right? We've both gone back out. But here we are. But I can tell you, in the room, the percentage of people that were around in 1997, maybe one. My buddy Jim might have been there. My buddy Scott might have been there. I don't know. He's another guy, right? He's got fucking 500 years of time, and he can still be a complete fucking baby. And, it's people like that you expect to be able to have situations that where most people, normal people, might keep them separate and not talking. You would think a person with, 500 years of sobriety would be able to say, hey, you were wrong or I was wrong, but regardless, we're sober and we don't want to live in that place. And we can put that behind us. But, this guy can't seem to do that, which is unfortunate or fortunate, right? I don't know. I was telling my wife, there's when you come into the program, there's a lot of these great guys that are, they're great friends, but, not long-term friendships, right? We're all still sick. And the nice part on the nice responsibility for me is that I can say, hey, I understand. No problem. Right. Where I want to say is, why don't you like me anymore? Right. But it's fine. It's all good. But this micro cheating, man, this is the kind of stuff. These are, when we come into when I came into the program and started working on some on my sobriety, there were things immediately that I had to give up. One was obviously drinking, and then, you know, just the fucking groups of people that I hung out with, right? I hung out with, like, people like myself, right? Drinkers and druggers. You know, I mean, back in those days, if you needed some cocaine, I knew where to get it, right? If you needed some whiskey, I could get the whiskey. If I needed the weed, I could get the weed. I had that whole connection. But when I quit, right, one, those people don't want to hang out with me either. And two, I don't want to hang out with them. You know, I'm a downer. I'm a bummer, right? There's nothing worse than hanging out with somebody that makes you feel like you can see how much you drink, right? Ah, man. I'm on my fifth drink and you're still not having one. That's terrible. So those relationships end pretty quickly. But that's like what I said last night. That's what meetings are great for, man. When you come in and you start to see people sort of normal, right? Normal people like yourself, like myself, start to make some friends, right? Start to feel like this isn't a complete mistake, sobriety. And we get better. We start to hang out. But the work gets done with our sponsors, and it takes time. And just when we get it figured out, it shifts, and then we think we know some more, and then take five steps backwards. It's just a freaking journey. And yeah, you should do 90 meetings in 90 days, but I don't think that makes you any. I think that makes you more likely to have a chance of getting sober. But it's also just about, you know, you should do 90 meetings in 90 days and not say anything. My name is Tom. I'm an alcoholic. I got 70 days. I'm just going to sit here and shut up. That might have been too much, right? You want to pay attention. You want to see. We're learning how to be people again, right? And that's visually we see it, right? We come into these meetings and we see visually, like, okay, people are starting to try to dress up a little bit, right? You don't have to wear a suit, right? But you should try to clean up a bit, right? Have some respect for others, right? We start to see how the conversations, the handshaking, making coffee, you know, these little relationships start to begin. We visually start to see it, and we listen with our ears, how people say thank you and how are you and hugs and it's good to see you and grateful to be sober and all these great, you know, attitude of gratitude and all this cool shit that's said by these folks, right? And we start to hear, right? We start to feel better and we start to just leave that disaster behind, right? And then we find that temporary sponsor who's kind of like taking us to New York, right? Like I've said, I've been to New York twice, once without and once with. The time I went with somebody that knew the town, I had the best time, right? So you need to get that sponsor, right? And you need to start listening to these steps, right? We need to start hit a step meeting, right? Read the steps. Start working with your sponsor. Start realizing. Start being honest. Why am I even here? Right? That's what I had to do. Why am I here? I am here because I get caught too much. I am a victim, right? But I couldn't have skipped that step. It's all part of it, right? The fucking devil wants to stop that. It's like, sometimes I go, why don't I just get rid of my car and ride the bus? The bus stops about 50 fucking times before it gets to where I need to go, right? And that's the devil. The devil stops about 50 times, giving you 50 different opportunities to get off this recovery train. It's like, you know, there's too many people. Next stop, right? Oh, I don't like the way they collect the money. Next stop, right? I don't like the way that guy pointed out that, you know, meeting makers don't always make it. Next stop, right? It's just a train or a bus with 100 stops not supporting you getting sober. The chances of getting sober are very slim. That's even if you do it correctly all the time. Thanks for letting me share, right? Thank you. Let me read this. Daily Reflections. I'm actually going to go work. I'm working on Mondays, and this one lady canceled, which really annoyed me. All right, here we go. On a wing and a prayer, June 3rd. We then look at step 6. I just realized I do not have to be working 9. I have to be working 10. So my brain was like tripping out. All right, here we go. On a wing and a prayer. We then look at step 6. We have emphasized willingness and as being indispensable. Alcoholics Anonymous, page 76. Steps 4 and 5 were difficult, but worthwhile. Now I was stuck on step 6 and in despair. I picked up the big book and read this passage. I was outside praying for willingness when I raised my eyes and saw a huge bird rising in the sky as I watched it suddenly give itself up to the powerful air currents of the mountains. Swept along, swooping and soaring, the bird did things seemingly impossible for mortal birds to do. It was an inspiring example of a fellow creature letting go to a power greater than itself. I realized that if the bird took back his will and tried to fly with less trust on its power alone, it would spoil its apparent free flight. The insight granted me the willingness to pray the seven-step prayer. It is not easy to know God's will in each circumstance. I must search out and be ready for the currents and what's where, and that's where prayer and meditation help, because I am of myself nothing. I ask God to grant me the knowledge of his will and the power to courage, the power and courage to carry it out today. That's right. Yeah. Are you micro cheating? I am not perfect. But the difference today for me is that when I micro cheat, when I do these little things, right, it creates fear. And when fear shows up, I'm not holding the hand of God. I'm not having that relationship. I'm not having that spiritual connection. And, you know, early on when I, you know, before I ever got sober, I would just do shit and just didn't care. Like I would, you know, luckily back when I was using, we didn't have the internet, right? We didn't have phones and stuff. But, you know, we would say things, hey, baby, look hot, you know, whatever, right? Didn't give a shit, right? And then when I came in and got sober, still carried that behavior, you know, hitting on chicks. When I came into the program, I was single. But even when I was using, I was dating a girl and I was still like flirting with other girls, still, you know, all self. But then over time, you know, you have a few of those experiences. You say something to someone and then someone calls you out. They're like, aren't you married? You're like, oh, yes. Like, oh, right. And, you know, that creates fear and anxiety. I've had some moments, you know, I'm not going to get into it, but I've had some low points in sobriety. And, you know, luckily I've been able to clean all that up and make my amends and try to be a better person. But like today, man, you know, I look at my phone, right? I got Instagram, I got Facebook, right? I'll see things, but I have to, you know, do I even want to heart this, right? I have a friend of mine that I don't even know if I should even, if I heart it, right? Is it, like, why does it have to be a heart, right? Because it feels like, you know, that means you love them or something. And I don't know. It's very tricky. But I, you know, I guess instead of, like, having a list of things I shouldn't do, it's when I've done things, how does it make me feel? And I think that's what's most important because, listen, we are not perfect. I am not perfect, right? But when things come up and I do things that, you know, whether they're, you know, in the gray zone, right? And they've been done, how does it make me feel? And the goal is to have this relationship with God, my higher power. But when I get myself into those small little micro-cheating moments, right? You're like, oh, God, like, is my wife going to see this? Should I have hearted that? Should I have done that? What are my motivations? Stop bullshitting yourself. You're a fucking dumbass. All of a sudden, the fucking fear comes rolling back in. And then you let go of the hand of God, and then you're not having that place of peace. Because I can tell you, I've done this a long time, and in the end, that's the goal, right? After doing all the hard work, you don't give a fuck about the promises, and you don't give a fuck about God, because in the end, you're living with God. You know, my whole life was God, fix this, God, fix that. When you find yourself and you start working on these small micro things, right, these micro shortcomings, right, and you start cleaning them up, you start living in this place of peace, you're like, I don't want to give this up. That is what becomes God, this relationship. Living through my behavior is a, you know, living a good life is a byproduct. God is a byproduct of living this good life. You live a good life, don't do your micro-cheatings, don't do your shortcomings, don't have your character defects, and you live this place that you're not afraid of anything. That's freaking God. At least for me, right? I hope everyone has a great day, and I'll catch you, I don't know, I'll catch you when I catch you. Bye. I bought a fancy car.